Well, I can't think of any place I'd rather be than with a bunch of ginners, so good morning. I'd like to acknowledge my boss, Ed Hughes, with the Cotton Ginning Lab in Las Cruces, and Bobby Harden and Cliff Boykin with the Cotton Ginning Lab in Mississippi. Also want to acknowledge Ed Barnes. He's been supporting our work in energy monitoring. Well, last year I turned 50, and so I started thinking about all the changes in 50 years. That was the car my daddy drove when I was a little kid, so been a lot of changes. And in the cotton gin, one of the biggest changes has just been the displacement of labor with machines. All these machines have been powered by electric motors, so the question naturally is, well, are we using more electricity now since we aren't using as much muscle power? The people in this room who pay the light bill are going to be interested. It turns out there's also people out in the general public who are worried about how much electricity cotton gins use. They want to know if their slacks are bad for the environment, if they have a big carbon footprint with their golf shirt. I'd like it if my shirt would stay tucked in. I don't lie awake at night worrying about the environmental impact, but there are people out there who worry about it. So Cotton Incorporated went out there and did a life cycle inventory and a life cycle assessment. This is the website. It's very interesting information. And one of the things they have on that website is the energy for ginning. So that's what the red circle represents. And they found that the energy used in the ginning process was a significant part of producing cotton and getting to the mill. So what changes in the cotton gin have had an impact on electricity use? Well, a big one has been the old the flat bale presses were replaced with universal density bale presses. These new presses had twice the density. And they were paying for the presses with the money they would save not having to repress the bale at the warehouse or at the compress and not having to buy more ties and bagging. I don't have any access to the statistics, but there may be people in this room who could tell me the answer to the question that follows. Naturally, are you making fewer trips to the warehouse because you can get more cotton on a truck? So if you got the answer to that, come up and talk to me after the session. The second important change in the cotton gin that might affect energy use has been moving from trailers to modules. Taking the cotton out of a trailer with a fan that has 150, 200 horsepower uses more electricity than the 30 horsepower motor that's on the module buster. And you can probably feed cotton more consistently. I know a lot of people took their steady flow boxes out of their gins when they got their module feeders. A third thing that's changed, it hasn't been one particular thing, it's been a combination of many things, but the capacity of gins has gone up a great deal. And module feeders have been part of that. Seed cotton cleaning equipment's gotten to be 12 feet wide now, and they're running faster, and sometimes there's two or three lines. Gin stands, when we were looking at gin stands in the 1960s, 8 bales an hour was a high-capacity gin stand. I heard about one yesterday that went 30 bales an hour, so that's a big change. And the speed of the bale press has gone up quite a bit. Automation has also helped improve the capacity of the gin. The rated capacity of the gin is being approached more consistently with automation. The automatic drying system means that the gin's running more smoothly. The feed control on the gin stand feeder. If the man that has to clean up the mess is setting the dial, he's going to stay away from the edge of the cliff. But the computer can get a lot closer to the edge without falling off. And so we're seeing that the gins are more fully loaded most of the time. And, of course, the strapping equipment on the bale press has helped a lot with improving the capacity. Then the fourth change has not been as positive for the gin, and that has been the change in emission control regulation. All these standards keep getting more stringent as the EPA keeps raising the bar. And Ed Hughes was one of the people that led the work on using cyclones to capture the particulate from the lint cleaner exhaust and the battery condenser exhaust. And because they're able to use cyclones to capture that particulate, we're not having to buy bag houses for gin. That saved the industry a lot of money. The only cost to the gin has been replacing the vane axial fans with centripetal fans, which take more electricity. Okay, now I talked about labor productivity in gins, and that's been some really amazing progress in the last 50 years. In 1962, labor was somewhere between an hour and a half to almost 3 hours to make a bale. And today it's less than half an hour. Another way to look at that is that the people that work in the gin are doing 4 to 6 times more every hour they're on the job. There may still be 4 or 5 people standing around the bale press, but that bale press is kicking out 30 bales an hour or more instead of, 8. Now, we had some data from our energy audits in 2009 and from the monitoring studies we did the 2 years after that. We put all that together, we had 21 observations. An ag economist named Wilmot, who worked for the ARS, and an engineer named Watson of the Ginning Labs, they did some studies in 1962-63, and they got 17 gins. And all the gins that they reported on were what they called high-capacity gins. The gin stand itself had a higher density of saws or larger diameter saws, and these gins all had electric motors on all the equipment. So those gins that they studied in 1962 were very similar to the gins that we have today in that regard. And they did pretty much the same thing that we did. Went into the gin while it was running, put on the electric protection equipment, and measured the current to each motor. An audit is just a snapshot, a picture in time of what's happening right then. The monitoring study, and this is where Cotton Incorporated support really helped us, we got current transmitters that we could put on every disconnect for every motor, and we added the data logging equipment so we could record those ones and zeros every couple seconds throughout the season. And that's more like a videotape or a movie. You're seeing what's happening as it changes over time. In both cases, we had the processing rate of the plant and the kilowatt hours of electricity used to make a bale. We compared the 17 high-capacity gins of 50 years ago to what we had recorded in the last couple of years. That paper had 10 functions or 10 categories, the processing and the materials handling. That's how I'm going to report our data. And all this was done after the single line shafts had been replaced by individual motor drives. So back to the objective or the question, labor's been displaced by machinery. What has been the change in energy consumption? I'm going to report my results by region, and I'm going to start with the value added or the processing part and then go to the materials handling part. So we'll first look at the West. How many kilowatt hours did it take to make a bale in the 1960s, and how many does it take now? And in each category, you can see the numbers that went down are in black and the numbers that went up are in red. And in the West, seed cotton drying went down by half. Seed cotton cleaning went up a little bit. USDA Gin Labs have published a lot of papers over the years that say if you clean the cotton, when it's seed cotton, you don't put as much lint in the trash pile as you do when you clean it after the gin stand. So you'll see that lint cleaning went down and seed cotton cleaning went up. I think that's in response to that. Ginning went down by about 30%. That was interesting. The bale press went up quite a bit. And now we're not only compressing the cotton to twice the density at the bale press, we're also compressing it a lot quicker. And I think that might also explain why there's more energy used. I haven't done any work to prove this idea, but the idea I have is that when you compress the cotton slowly, it doesn't fight back as much, you kill it. Anyway, the whole thing dropped about 30%. Go to the Southwest, the High Plains of Texas, Oklahoma, and the only thing that went up was the bale press. Everything went down a little bit. Seed cotton drying went down quite a bit. When I say seed cotton drying, I include the fans that pull on the belly of the incline hot air cleaners, because that's drying the cotton. It's not just moving it. And you see, again, ginning went down a little bit. Lint cleaning went down quite a bit. Go to the South and the Southeast, and the only thing that went up was the bale press, and it went up a lot. Seed cotton drying went down a great deal. And ginning went down about 50%. Overall, we lose again about 30% of the energy. So we're saving quite a bit of electricity. Now we go to the materials handling part. Seed cotton unloading has gone down a little bit in the West. Lint conveying has gone up a little bit. Seed conveying has gone up a bit. Seed conveying might go up because the buildings are bigger and the seed piles are bigger, so you need more space between them. Go to the Southwest, you see the similar trend, but seed cotton conveying, lint conveying went up just a little bit. And trash conveying went down quite a bit. I think the people in the Southwest are handling less trash now because there's field cleaning on the harvester. In fact, that can account for the seed cotton unloading having gone down so much. When the strippers were bringing all the trash to the gin, they were getting about 1,000 pounds of trash per bale. After adding the field cleaners, the trash per bale went down to 500 pounds, sometimes as low as 300 pounds per bale. In the south and southeast, seed cotton unloading also went down a lot. Conveying went up just a little bit, and trash conveying went down just a little bit. So a slight change, but it's all been, overall, it's been down quite a bit. If you look at the sum total for each region, you see that the decrease in electrical energy used to make a bale of cotton has been somewhere between 22 and 41%. And again, I think the bigger decrease in the southwest is because of this field cleaning on the pickers and on the strippers. Connected power, this is something else that's kind of interesting. How many horsepower we've got in a gin has gone up by a factor of 2 or 3 as the consolidation has resulted in larger gins. But the bale per hour capacity of those gins has gone up by a factor of 3 to 6. So how can we get a lot more cotton through a gin that only has a little bit more horsepower? I think it's because we're loading the motors more fully and we're running more consistently. I check my data with the surveys that Tommy Valco does every 3 years. He sent me some anonymous data. We were able to average it based on the number of bales produced at each of the gins and come up with kilowatt hours per bale on the survey data. Compare that with the kilowatt hours per bale on the audits. And the reason for doing this is when you do the audit, you're only measuring it while the gin's running. With the survey, it includes the downtime for cleanup and repairs. And there wasn't a lot of difference in the west. In the southwest, a little bit more difference. South and southeast, it was almost the same. And that reassured me that we were doing a pretty good job with our estimates. The one change, the processing rate per hour, it looked like the gins that we monitored in the area around Lubbock were just the larger gins. We didn't get into any smaller gins there. So what's the impact of my natural fiber apparel? Is my t-shirt bad for the environment? And I'd say the ginning industry has done a really good job over the last 50 years. We've reduced, depending on whether you use the survey data or the audit data, and I think the audit data is more fair because that's what was done in the 60s was audits. But if you want to be very conservative, you can compare the survey data. Anyway, we've taken about 20 to 30% of the electricity used to make a bale of cotton out of it. So that's a big improvement. And the bottom line is, cotton ginning industry is doing a good job. Keep up the good work, guys. And if an environmentalist or a tree hugger gets a hold of you and says you got to stop using electricity to make cotton, you got to go back to what your great-grandfather did, you just tell them how much money it would cost to buy feed for all those mules. Thank you.